Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you as we come into the fan-run studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. First things first, I got a bone to pick with somebody. I think you started it, Cody. I think you deserve to have the bone picked with.
Okay.
Yesterday, when we were talking about West Virginia and we were getting fired up and you said you named it. What was it? What was the original name? Beat West Virginia Wednesday. What was it?
Yeah, like beat West Virginia's ass Wednesday.
Yeah. When I said we need something with alliteration and you came back with something that had Wednesday included in it.
Yeah, yesterday was Thursday.
I went through my whole day thinking yesterday was Wednesday because of you naming our segment Wednesday. And then Ben chimed in with another suggestion.
Wake up Wednesday.
Wake up Wednesday.
That's on. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then a tweeter wrote in. WGWTFA Wednesday, and all along it was Thursday, and you guys were naming our segments after Wednesdays.
That happened yesterday?
Yeah.
So wow. It wasn't on Wednesday when we had that discussion?
No, it was yesterday on Thursday.
No, yeah, it was definitely yesterday because I went back and listened to the podcast.
And I went and I bet on Tennessee to win over 5.5 games because I was so pumped up.
Well, why in God's name would we say all of these things about Wednesday when it was Thursday?
Because you're an idiot. You're an idiot, and the guy who tweeted us is an idiot, and all of our listeners are idiots, and I'm an idiot because no one realized, wait a second, guys, it's Wednesday. Then later that day.
Thursday.
Again, Thursday. I did it again. Then I go out. 3 hours later, I tweet out the podcast link. I called it Wednesday again, and no one corrected me. Everyone's just letting me walk around look like a stupid idiot.
Just goes to show nobody really cares what day it is.
That might be the takeaway here. It doesn't really matter.
So
in our industry, everyone just can't wait to correct you and call you, say you're dumb. Hey, dummy. It's not Wednesday, it's Thursday. And no one corrected me. They just kept giving us more suggestions.
So
it wasn't until last night I was sitting there waiting, I was like, wait a second. Big Brother comes on tonight, the live eviction. Not the Wednesday edition, the live eviction.
Which happens on Thursday.
Yeah, I was like, it's Thursday. Thursday night football is on. I was like, it's Thursday. Why the hell was I calling this Wednesday?
So you blame it on me?
You started it. You got the ball rolling. Helped it go along.
How do you know it was me? Did you listen back to it?
Well, no, because I remember the progression was you came out with a really terrible one. Ben Lee came up with Wake Up Wednesday, and I was like, okay, we got to find something in the middle.
And then we got the WTFA.
Right. Then a tweeter wrote in, and we found the sweet spot. We're like, okay, that's the answer. That's how it broke down.
Hmm.
You had terrible suggestion. Ben Lee came up with a little bit better of a suggestion, and then the listener came through with the right one. And I was just going along for the ride because I'm a stupid idiot too.
You would think.
So we need one for Thursday then.
Well, the thing is, I'd probably like that segment to be on Wednesday. I mean, I guess it could be Thursday.
Thrash their ass Thursday.
Okay, maybe we do it on Thursday.
Thunder thighs Thursday.
No. No. No more. Thrash their ass Thursday is pretty good. It's pretty good. You're just mad because you didn't come up with it.
No, I'm not. It can be refined.
You're just mad because you didn't come up with it.
I don't think it's very good.
I think it's pretty solid.
Unfortunately, no one corrected us. So
that's what I'm still
really
stunned about.
Really, I should take maybe 10% of the blame here. 10%, and then 90% should fall on the field.
I'm giving you 35%.
That's a little much.
No, I'm giving you 35%. I'm giving Ben Lee 25%. Because,
and you half.
No, that's first of all, that's 45. 60%.
45. 35, 25.
60. It's not 45%.
60, and then, yeah. So 40 for you.
No. No.
Well, then 20, where does the rest go?
20% to the guy who came up with the WGWTFA Wednesday, 15% me, and 5% everybody else.
I think 35% is a little high for me.
You got that ball rolling.
I don't know that
I
did.
You called it Wednesday earlier in the show as well, or you had lied about, you had been lying about your Wednesdays. That's what it was. You were lying about what you do on Wednesdays.
I have to go to church on Wednesdays.
Always at church on Wednesday nights. Everyone knows that.
You just got the ball rolling and just ruining everything. And today hasn't gone much better. I just blacked my own eye picking up a laptop. I picked it up too fast, and it hit me right in the cheekbone. You come in. You bump your big knee against the table. You're writhing around in pain.
God, it hurts so bad.
Poor intern Andrew's back on the shelf. But get this. He texts me, hey, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to the walk-in clinic. And I was like, okay, I've got him. I was like, I'm tired of intern Andrew lying to me. He just wants to stay home. Mm-hmm. I said, send me a picture of the medical stuff.
Oh, you pulled that?
And he did.
Oh, my God.
He sent me the picture of his receipt that he had just gotten out and had been diagnosed on his medicine from Walgreens.
You feel bad now?
I did feel bad.
His receipt for his medicine from Walgreens?
Yeah, or like from his visit where they were like, I guess, writing the suggestions and prescribing him medicine.
Oh, because see, what I would have done if I was him, I would have like driven to get breakfast or something and then took a picture of it. He went full.
He immediately sent it back. Like he had basically just gotten out when I'd sent that.
He went Brett McMurphy on you.
He pulled the receipts.
He pulled the receipts.
Yeah.
With the right date and everything.
I thought I had him. You know what? I'm tired of the lies, intern Andrew.
No.
Send me the receipt.
He had things to do.
He sent me the receipt.
Places to
then
be.
Then I felt really bad. I was like, I hope you feel better, brother.
Yeah.
Hope you feel better.
He probably took it beforehand, you know, just as a backup.
No, the time was on there.
Yeah.
The time was on
there.
Time
stamp. He checked the old time stamp.
Huh? Yeah. Time was on there.
So you did some investigating search into the picture first.
Well, no, the picture was, the picture was pretty cut and dry. There's no, like, real investigating of it. Like, the top of it basically is, like, you know, intern Andrew, the date, or I guess his birthday, intern Andrew, the date of birth, and right under it says, this information in this after visit summary is up to date as of 8/17/2018, 8:50 a.m.
Sounds
like 8:52 whenever he had sent it. So, like, yeah.
I think maybe you committed a HIPAA violation.
How so?
By
saying
by
he went
forcing,
to the walk-in clinic?
By forcing intern Andrew to send you his medical information.
Well, I didn't ask for his medical information.
As his boss.
Well, technically.
Well, people have doctor's notes all the time. Yeah, like, what makes you bring a doctor's note?
I guess so. Did it say what kind of medicine he's? I mean, that's got his personal.
It might have, but I didn't read it. But he told me he thinks he's having an allergic reaction to his new roommate's cat. That's what he thinks happened.
Oh, okay.
Maybe now I just did violate HIPAA.
Yeah.
Maybe now.
Now
I just
everybody
did.
Knows Andrew's allergic to cats.
We don't know for sure. He just thinks he might be.
Mm-hmm.
They told him that to take this medicine, and if he gets another sinus infection afterwards, then he's definitely allergic to the cat.
Yeah. At least it wasn't like some cream or something, you know
sure.
what I mean?
For like, I wouldn't have told everybody that.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to tell people on the air like
right.
Andrew's got some kind of
oh yeah.
I didn't even say it.
Well, you're about to
I didn't
I
even
cut you
say
off.
It.
I cut you off. It's fine. We know what you're hinting at. Just stop. Leave poor intern Andrew alone. He's been through enough today already. He's sick and I tried to climb out on a lie and he threw it right back in my face and made me feel like a phony.
Yeah.
So today, Friday the 17th, John Reed taking a whole bunch of L's.
Sounds like it. I took an L with this damn table, this corner table.
Not to mention, I had the perfect strategy last night. We were trying to get started. By the way, the over in the Pittsburgh-Green Bay game, you're welcome. It was over at halftime.
Yeah, not so much on the Pittsburgh 5.5.
I did not give – after we talked it out, I said, no, don't take the Pittsburgh 5.5. Take the over. I never said that.
You had the over.
I did say the Jets, and in my defense, the game worked out exactly like I thought it was. Teddy Bridgewater moving against the second-string defense, doing whatever he wants to them. He got them right down the goal line. They scored on second down. And I need an investigation into the NFL officiating because they scored on second down. Instead, they rolled him down the inch line. And then I was like, oh, no, Teddy Bridgewater's got a bad leg. He's not going to do a quarterback sneak in a preseason game. So instead, they try to hand the ball off, and they let a free blitzer come off the edge and drill the running back 3 yards in the backfield. So then they have to kick a field goal, so they're up one. And then stupid Kevin Hogan, who gets the benefit of a terrible holding call, and then his receiver makes some acrobatic catch like he's Julio Jones, even though he's a third-string wide receiver who's going to be working at UPS next week. And they kick a field goal, and they win at the gun. And I went 1-1 in my picks for you guys. And I'm sorry. The Jets should have easily won. The guy scored on second down. I don't know why they didn't want to review it. Third down, Teddy was too scared to sneak it. It was just a disaster. It was a train. That was a really tough loss there.
So the Jets ended up losing on a walk-off field goal?
Yep.
Yeah.
After a guy made an acrobatic catch, like I said, looked like Julio Jones, to get them in field goal range when they basically had 9 seconds left in the game.
I turned it over there when it was 12-3, I think. Well, and then I watched that touchdown drive.
Yeah, I was going to say, Teddy took over.
Then that nice catch by whoever it was who caught that touchdown catch.
That was a great catch.
And so I saw that, and then I quit watching it. But I had heard that they lost by a field goal.
They got the ball. They got it right down, like I said, on the goal line. Unbelievable. Just taking L's all over.
Yeah, 1-1 to start the season. You nailed the over.
The over was over at halftime.
Pittsburgh, Green Bay. I mean, that was cake.
It was 14-14 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Speaking of L's, what do you have the story of the day? Let's go to the story of the day. Story of the day. This is the story of the day.
Oh, we gotta get something in on that.
Yeah.
Story of the day.
No, I'm just gonna go with story of a girl and replace girl
this
with day.
This is the story of the day.
Yeah.
Wreck your whole world.
This is the story of the day. The first thing when you wake up in the I messed it up. The first thing you see when you wake.
I like the first one, too, like the old, like the Jetsons, like that 60s kind of radio jingle, that story of the day.
Story of the day.
I'd like to do something like that, too.
Do you have the story of the day?
There's not a lot going on. Maybe, well, probably Davy Hudson's Tinder profile, quite honestly.
Davy Hudson's Tinder profile.
Yeah, that's probably my story of the day. Have you seen it?
I saw it.
Yeah?
I saw it. He posted it for the world to see last night.
You think he regrets it?
I don't know if he regrets it. I feel like it's free game once he posted himself. I feel like he's allowed to be the story of the day if he posted it himself.
Avid sports and movie watcher.
Okay.
Love road trips with no set destination.
Okay. What kind of psychopath are you, Davey? You love long road trips with no set destination? That sounds to me like just sitting in traffic. I don't know. That doesn't feel like a good romantic thing. It doesn't feel like a good thing to do in general. Let's just get in the car and just drive.
Yeah. Let's just get in the car and drive into the ocean. No set destination. You got to have some sort of destination to get to a place.
I'm feeling anxiety. I'm feeling very anxious just thinking of getting in a car with someone and just driving. With no idea of where we're going.
Girls love the late night. Let's just take a drive.
Yeah, let's get in a car.
That's not a road trip, though.
The way he phrased it definitely makes it a little bit weirder.
Like, I get the idea of wanting to get in a car and, like, go ride some back roads, right? I'm from the country. I get the appeal of that. Like, hey, let's go ride around where there's no street lights. Let's just cruise and let's just listen and talk.
Tip over some cows.
That's not...
Listen to some love music.
Sure, I get the idea
of
that.
Walk in on the horses in the barn.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Those aren't road trips. But okay, so far we like movies and road trips.
Avid sports and movie watcher as opposed to a casual sports and movie watcher.
Davey loves his sports and he loves his movies.
As long as you don't let me down as much as the Tennessee Vols we will get along just fine.
A little humor? Okay. If you're listening, ladies, this guy's a comedian. And he's letting you know he loves his Tennessee Vols.
Well, you said he's kind of a comedian. Good thing you said that, because in the third paragraph, he lets you know.
Third paragraph?
According to my mom, I'm pretty funny.
A little self-deprecating humor. Hey, I'm a mama's boy. Okay.
Fourth paragraph. 6'1" with golden locks of hair resembling bird feathers.
They say there's
no. I threw the last part in. 6'1". I thought Davey's like 6'4". He's only 6'1".
I feel like you should have let off with that. 6'1". I feel like that should have been your opening line, Davey.
Power move.
Yeah, you got to go. Yeah. Women want tall people.
With golden locks of hair.
Yeah, you could have left that out because obviously they see that in your picture.
I kind of like the golden locks of hair.
Okay.
The emphasis on, you know, look at this hair. Look at it.
I think like I would have led with 6'1".
If you've ever wanted to date a B-list Knoxville celebrity, here's your chance.
Okay, wait a second. What?
A B-list Knoxville celebrity.
B-list Knoxville celebrity. That seems a couple of letter grades a little too high,
it
right?
It does. It really does. I'd say that, D-list.
I mean, I'd give him D-list. B-list celebrity seems a little bit too high, Davey.
B-list. Who is a B-list celebrity?
A B-list celebrity?
Yeah.
All right, well, if we're going down the hierarchy of Knoxville celebrities, like
Peyton Manning.
No, I don't consider Peyton Manning
Fulmer.
Fulmer. Fulmer's an A-list celebrity for sure. Fulmer. Peyton supersedes all that.
Dolly.
No, she supersedes all that.
It's got to be someone that lives in town.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a local celebrity. Like Peyton and Dolly are just celebrities.
All right.
They're just big-time celebrities. Like that's like saying, yeah, no.
Don Dare.
Who?
Don Dare from Channel 6.
I don't know who Don is, but like Russell. Russell, is it, what's his?
Smith.
No, not Russell Smith. Bivens.
Bivens.
Russell Bivens. I'd almost say he's an A-list celebrity.
Okay.
Like back in the day, would Andy and Allison have been an A-list celebrity? I feel like they were kind of a big power thing.
Yeah, probably back in the day.
Now, granted, like I don't know if most people know what they look like, so that's kind of hard to be like an A-list celebrity if people don't know what you look like, but still. Like they had some real cachet in town.
The Live at 5 at 4 people. Is that the Russell guy you're talking about?
I think that's Russell. I think that's Russell.
I think you'd throw Russell Bivin.
Yeah.
I think you'd throw him in there as an A-list.
Yeah.
He's an A-lister. He's not on Fulmer's level, though.
No. Well, no. I don't know. But there's a whole group of people who don't like sports who still know who Russell is. Not Smith again. Not that idiot.
Yeah. Well, he's like a D-list. The mayor.
Yeah, the mayor's an A-list celebrity, sure. Kane. Well, yeah, Kane.
Burchett, I guess.
Yeah.
Burchett's probably an A-lister. I mean, just as far as people know who he is.
Now, when you get – I don't know where you have to get to where you go with the Bs.
You.
I mean, I'm much more closer to B. I'm much closer to a B-list celebrity than Davey.
Do you think you're a bigger celebrity than Tim Burchett?
No.
You think you could win a fight against Tim Burchett?
100%.
Yeah, probably. What about Kane?
No. No on neither. Yeah. Or no on either.
Yeah, Davies.
I feel like I could be a C, maybe. I mean, we're on the radio. We speak to thousands of people. But we're not just, you know, producers. We're hosts. So on the hierarchy, you know, we're a little bit higher. No offense, Ben Lee.
None taken.
I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to boost you up. I'm trying to level you up a little bit.
No. Like I understand. Like there is a hierarchy on the show. Still the top producer at the station.
Football players, I guess, like AJ Johnson, if he's walking around, especially right now, he's probably an A-lister.
Fair. Is that the end of the profile? B-list celebrity. Was that his jumping off point?
We'll probably need you to take me to the hospital at some point. That's worth throwing out there. Tell me who you think would win in a fight between a grilled cheese sandwich and a taco. It's really going downhill. And then my anthem, Hero, by Enrique Iglesias.
Oh, Davey.
Might work. Who knows? There might be a girl out there who's looking for a guy like Davey.
Ladies, if you are listening and you want to answer the, you know, I guess we got our next week's this or that, Ben. Who you got in a fight? Grilled cheese sandwich or a taco?
If you think that's anywhere close to as good as Universal or Disney World, then I'm going to be actually mad.
I'm with you.
He kind of got me self-conscious now. Like, I'm going to Tinder to see what my profile says just to make sure nobody can make fun of me. Oh, I just have a Heath Ledger quote.
A Heath Ledger quote or a Joker quote?
A Joker quote.
Well, this is
which seems weird to have on my Tinder profile.
What is your Tinder profile?
I made my.
Because we're making fun of Davies. I need to know what yours says.
I mean, I made my Tinder profile in like 2014.
No disclaimers. I need to know what you thought. This is how I'm going to cast the net and get the women. Let's hear it. What do you got?
I don't know why I have this on Tinder.
Stop. Just give it to
this
me.
This is not a good Tinder profile. I can already tell. I just have a quote. It has nothing to do with picking up women on Tinder.
Let's hear it. Because
it's just a quote.
Let's hear it.
Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order and everything becomes chaos.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know why that's on my Tinder profile.
Why did you think that would be a good way to pick up women?
Why does the Joker sound like a nerd?
I didn't. I just had to put something in the about me.
Okay, let's go to break.
The pictures are all old, too.
We're all taking L's around here at Fan Run Studios. We need the football season to start.
Tumbling Dice is my anthem.
What song is that?
It's Tumbling Dice.
Well, how does it go?
It's off Exile.
You're not answering the question.
You got to roll me. Call me the Tumbling Dice.
Give Davey the edge
women
on song
think,
anthems.
Women think I'm tasty, always trying to waste me.
Okay.
Make me burn my candle right down.
Let's just go to break. Back on the program, we've tracked down Davey Hudson to ask him a couple questions about his dating profile. Davey, can you explain this whole B-list celebrity thing?
I mean, if I'm being honest,
No, on the show, Davey, when the horn goes off, you quit talking.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We got breaking news.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt with the. I'm sure it was a great explanation, but Tennessee has landed a premier defensive back, a safety, Jalen McCullough. It ends O-U-G-H. Is it McCullough? I think it's just silent, isn't it?
I'm going to go with McCullough.
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 Jalen McCullough.
Tank.
McCullough?
He goes by Tank.
McCullough.
Tank McCullough.
Not McCullers. 6'1", 194, class of 19, safety out of Powder Springs, Georgia. And he is 94 rated overall. He's a 4-star, ranked as the number 10 safety in the country. He had a exquisite offer list. Just looking over it. Basically one of those guys that had an offer from anywhere you'd want him to. Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Auburn, Florida State, everybody. They all wanted him. Tennessee got him. Just committed.
Yeah, that makes that whole losing. You know, I don't know if you saw where Georgia picked up like the number 600 defensive tackle. Or I guess a number 600 ranked player, a defensive tackle out of Tennessee yesterday. Did you see that? Kirby came up into Tennessee and brought back a defensive tackle with him.
How good was he?
Like number 600.
Ah. Yeah. What do they need him for?
It's a good way to respond to that is going down to Georgia and getting a top 130 player. He comes in nationally ranked at number 131 on 247 Sports composite score, which takes, of course, other outlets and puts them together.
Ranked as the 15th best player in Georgia. So,
and as we talked about earlier this week, Georgia officially a part of the – it's made the big three in recruiting the big four.
Yeah. So number 15 there is a pretty significant –
Number 15 in Georgia is probably like number 5 in Tennessee.
Right.
Is that safe to say, or is it even higher?
That sounds about
well, our
right.
own. I mean, I don't know. Pull up Tennessee's prospect list
as a state.
Yeah.
I always have trouble getting to that. How do you get to that?
I'll be interested to see like where you get on the prospect list of a guy who's ranked at like number 90 or 94-34 on his composite score or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine it's probably already, I would say it's probably in the top five.
All right, I think I figured out how to get there. I'm looking at Tennessee state rankings now. Here it is, 2019. Tennessee's number five guy is Woody Washington. He's a 92 overall, committed to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So Tennessee's number three player, let's see, what's Jalen McCullough? 9-4-3-4.
Yeah.
Tennessee's number two guy is 9-4-3-3, Bill Norton, the guy who went to Georgia.
That guy's the one going to Georgia.
Yeah. So he would be the second best player in the state of Tennessee, Jalen McCullough would, behind only Lance Wilhoit.
Who's Lance Wilhoit? Where's he going?
He's a wide receiver out of Nashville, Franklin Road Academy, headed to Oregon.
Interesting. So, basically, you just picked up the second best player in the state of Tennessee. Like, if this was an in-state guy, it'd be the number two player in the country or in the state.
Yeah, that would be accurate.
It's an interesting way to look at it because he's number 15 in Georgia. How much talent's down there in that state right now?
A whole bunch.
And Tennessee's done a good job of getting their hands on it. Man, this secondary class that Tennessee's putting together next year, it's pretty damn stout.
Tennessee right now has the number two prospect, the number 12 prospect, and the number 15 prospect in the state of Georgia.
Say that one more time.
The number two prospect, Wanya Morris.
Okay.
He's the number two guy in Georgia. Tennessee's got him, and they've got at number 12, Ramel Keaton, the receiver, and now Jalen McCullough. So taking three of Georgia's top 15 prospects.
The number two, the number 12, and number 15?
Yep.
Did you see that on a tweet, or did you just come up with that yourself?
No, I'm doing that myself.
Okay.
Georgia, on the other hand, only has four. Alabama has three. Are you tweeting that?
Yeah, I'm quoting you, though.
Oh, okay. Always good to provide proper attribution.
Yeah, I'm not going to steal your stat. That's a good stat, though. That's a good stat, though.
Yeah, I don't know if you care about the other part of that, but, I mean, Georgia only has four of them right now.
No, I'm not gonna talk about what Georgia does or doesn't have because they have the number one recruiting class still.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying in the top 15, like, and then Bama has three.
I mean, I think it's a good sign that Tennessee could go into Georgia and get three top 12 players.
Yeah.
Or top 15 players, excuse me. I think that's a good sign.
Georgia and Auburn have several once you get outside the top 20. Tennessee also has number 38, Jackson Lowe. He's a tight end.
I'd be really interested to see what was happening at Georgia if Mark Richt was still there.
They'd probably be winning 10 games.
You think so? Would they have had pretty much the same season last year under Mark Richt, in your opinion?
That's tough to say. That's tough to say because they were loaded last year. I mean, what would Mark Richt have done? He probably would have lost to Auburn again in Atlanta, maybe.
Do you think the season plays out the same way except they lose in Atlanta? I'd say they lose.
It's hard to say.
I'd say they would lose to Oklahoma for sure. I don't think they come back from 17 with Mark Richt at the helm. I don't really have anything to base that off of.
I always said they were making.
Other than Mark Richt seems soft, and that when the going gets tough, Mark Richt lays down. That's how it feels to me.
Yeah, I mean that's what he's always done.
Yeah.
I always said it was a dumb move by them to replace him. I never thought that Kirby would be better than Mark Richt, but maybe it was worth the risk for Georgia.
I mean, I mostly mean in the recruiting landscape because all this, you know, top talent. Because we think of Kirby, obviously, as a better recruiter than Richt, right? I mean, with the way Georgia did last year and the way they did this year, and still the state is getting kind of ransacked. Now, Georgia's doing fine elsewhere. But Still, the state's getting ransacked with Kirby, who we think is a better recruiter. With all this talent in Georgia, I really wonder what would have happened if Mark Richt was still there in terms of in-state recruiting. So Tennessee lands a huge commit. Let's catch a break. We'll come back. We'll hit the McKinney team hotline after the break. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Let's go to the McKinney team hotline. Let's grab T-Carp. What's up, T-Carp?
Hey, guys. Hope everybody is doing well today. And, man, if we go 4-0, you know, to start the season, how big is the hype train going to be for Tennessee, seriously, with these recruits? Because let's just be straight. Jeremy knows how to, at least it seems like he knows how to get these defensive guys in, and his head's definitely in the SEC football. We need to recruit defense. We need to recruit these particular type of guys. Do you think he hits top five in the recruiting rankings after going 4-0? I mean, if it goes 4-0 here in a few weeks, months, and after that, man, guys, I just don't see. We've got a really, really good chance of going 4-0.
I really think we do. I have a hard time of thinking there'll be a big hype train just because of the roadblock that is October. You know what I mean? I think we all know, even if we go 4-0 in our first four games, that October is going to be rough one way or the other.
Yeah.
Now, recruiting-wise, like, you might see recruiting explode. So, in that regard, you know, it's a big statement from Jeremy Pruitt if they come out and beat West Virginia, let alone following that up with Florida. So, yeah, like, you'll think that you have the right guy, but in terms of, you know, a hype train, we know that we have a roadblock waiting ahead of us in October.
One more thing. In October, that huge roadblock, what do you want to see in those four games? Like, keep it respectable within, like, 7 to 10 points. Like, what do you want to see after the first four games?
Appreciate the phone call, T-Carp. You know, if we are looking competitive and if we're winning games in September, what I would want out of October is just a chance to win one of those games. To be in the game in the fourth quarter. Is that a fair expectation?
If you're 4-0, for that to still be the expectation?
Or 3-1.
Then your expectation is to be in one of those games in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, like have a late lead or a tie game or be down a field goal with the ball type of thing. At either South Carolina or Auburn.
But you don't have to win it?
I think that's just asking a lot. I think that's asking a lot. Like, I think we can beat South Carolina, but I'm not going to say that, like, I don't want to put it on this coaching staff and these players to, well, I'm expecting you to go to South Carolina and win.
I think
if, now maybe that does change, Cody, if we go 4-0.
That's what I was going to say.
Maybe that changes and you look and you're like, okay, let's beat South Carolina.
That's what I was going to say. If you're 4-0, I think it changes. I really think it does. And I think week 5 at Georgia, if you're 4-0, people are not going to be expecting you to go beat Georgia, but the narrative of that game's going to change. That's going to become, I mean, I don't know what the schedule looks like that week, but that's going to be the hyped-up SEC game of the week. They're going to bill that as a race for the division at that point, probably.
Now, does that change if it's 3-1?
Yeah, I think so. I think if Tennessee loses to Florida.
Or West Virginia.
Still going to be a big game. Still going to be a big game, but I just think if you're 4-0, we might come to expect a little more.
Seems really tough to like be basically talking about hypotheticals at 4-0.
Well, do you remember basketball season last year though?
Very fondly.
We were picked
for most of it.
13th, obviously, in the SEC.
We were picked to finish 13th.
And
I've heard that before.
Yep. And we got a lot better, but we expected more as the season went along, despite the fact that we didn't think at the beginning of the season we were going to be – now, we never thought we'd be 13th, but we didn't think – we thought we were probably a middle-of-the-pack team.
We thought we were going to be lucky to be on the bubble.
Right. So our expectations –
or that we would be firmly on the bubble.
Our expectations changed as time went along, as we saw that we were better than that.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and I think if we come out 4-0,
that might be the best point you've made on the show ever.
Well, that's saying a lot. I've made a lot of really good points. But coming out and, you know, beat it, because you're going to have a win over a top 15 team at that point and be undefeated, I think our expectations will change a little. Still don't think people realistically, you know, we're not expected to beat Georgia on the road. But I think those Auburn games and the South Carolina games, they become a little more, you know, not must win or anything like that, obviously, but they become, we become a little more invested in those games.
Tweeter writes in, nothing makes a sports fan look more unintelligent, than when they allow the homer bug to take over. Well, to you, Tweeter, first of all, I would say nothing makes a Tweeter look more unintelligent than when they use the wrong version of then and than. How about that? Huh?
Yeah, you
How
can't.
How about that?
You can't come on talking about somebody's intelligence if you can't distinguish between then and than.
That's right. Take that.
You just can't. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Facial. It's facial.
Like, yeah, right in the face. That's like saying you're an idiot with the Y-O-U-R.
I think then and then's worse.
You think?
To me it is. To me it is.
I think the one I hate most is loose.
Loose and loose.
We're going to loose eight games.
But no, with all due respect or in all seriousness to Troy's point, I mean, yeah, the Homer bug is real.
Oh, it was Troy that said that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I take back what I said. I didn't know it was our friend Troy. You didn't tell me that. I thought it was just some random dude on Twitter. I didn't mean that, Troy.
I did.
You
meant it.
Should have told me it was Troy.
I meant it.
Nah, I feel bad.
I don't back it. I don't back down. I mean it. You call me a homer? Nah, he's pulling the tell it to Google excuse. But in all seriousness to Troy's point, okay, yeah, I mean, like I said, it feels homerish to talk about 4-0. I don't want to talk about 4-0. I want to entertain the idea that you'll be 3-1, though. I don't think that's too – is that too much to ask? That you're 3-1 after the first four games? Because, I'm fully agreeing – that 4-0 makes you sound loony. I don't think it's impossible. I know the coaches think it's going to happen. But can we lay up and say 3-1?
Is that the expectation? Are we expecting to win one of those games?
That's a good question.
Because I think if you define it as the expectation versus, wow, that would be really cool. I don't think it's fair, and maybe it's going to sound like a loser mentality. I don't think it's fair for us to expect to be 3-1 in Pruitt's first four games as
a
coach.
Fair. Let's make it the Toyota Knoxville poll question. We're Toyota Knoxville. All right, Cody McClure, how do you want to word this one?
Well, we've got to word it in a way because our people are going to be optimistic. The fan base is optimistic. So we've got to word it in a way that shows.
Here's what I'm thinking. What are reasonable expectations through four games?
I think a lot of people are going to say 3-1.
Well, I mean, that might be the answer.
What? Well, but I don't know how to word it. What is your expectation
. Hello, Earth Cody.
I don't know. I'm thinking on live radio. It's not good for live radio. What should our expectation be for Tennessee's first four games?
That's exactly what I just said.
What did you say?
What are your expectations for the
first
four
Tennessee
games?
No, it's different. It's different. What should our expectation be is different than what are your expectations?
Okay.
Like, because I think people can acknowledge, like, My expectations may be 3-1, but we should be okay with 2-2 this early in the tenure. I think the word should.
I'm giving you the win on this one.
Okay.
I'm saying what should our expectations be through the first four Tennessee games? 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, but competitive.
Okay, I think should is important, an important word there. I still think it may come back 3-1, though, but I don't know. I just hate to put that on. Maybe this is the Butch syndrome coming through, you know? Maybe if Jeremy Pruitt's a big-time winner and he's as good as he should beat Florida or West Virginia. I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of asking a lot, but at the same time, I think it's pretty attainable. So maybe 3-1's the answer.
Let's go to the McKinney team hotline. Let's grab Troy. What's up, Troy?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
I am. I'm driving all over the place today. Hey, first and foremost, John, you can always use my name. You don't have to say a tweeter. I have no problem with that.
I was trying to set up Cody. I was trying to set up Cody, Troy.
Okay.
He set me up thinking it was just some random Twitter troll, and so I had to be vicious. I wouldn't have been that way if it was you, Troy.
Oh, no. Hey, seriously, man, I'm going to give you guys a hard time till the first. I'll tell you what's going to happen on the first. Either I'm going to be smug or I'm going to be bowing down, one or the other. But I'm really looking forward to going down there and watching the game because that's going to tell us everything. Anybody that has an expectation less than 2-2, there's something wrong with them. And I think anybody that has an expectation of 4-0, there's something wrong with them. But I think 2-2 or 3-1, both are fair. Florida coming in with a brand new coach, you never can tell what happens. And if West Virginia is close, I mean, I think people will actually expect to beat Florida at home. Do you think I'm wrong?
I 100% agree with that. If you look good against West Virginia, especially offensively, and you just don't get boat raced, yeah, people are going to expect you to come in at home and beat Florida. No, I 100% agree.
Yeah, the other quick thing, seriously, you can make fun of me on the typing thing, but I don't type. Generally, when I'm tweeting you guys, I'm on the road. And so that's why sometimes it misspells your name, J-O-H-N, because the Google's voice recognition is not the best.
Oh, so
but
you,
I thought it would be better than breaking the law by tweeting while I'm driving.
See, I'd rather break the law myself. I'd rather break the law, but, to each their own. So you just speak into
all
the
right,
Google?
He's voice to text.
Oh, I'm curious.
Troy. Have a
I'm
great
curious.
Weekend, Troy. Have a great weekend.
Well,
you got to cut Troy
off?
I'm not here to worry about how you guys text each other.
I'm curious.
I'm not worried about how he just told you. He speaks it into his phone. It types it out for him.
I feel like you just did the audience a disservice. Maybe
no,
maybe they didn't know about the Google voice feature. I was going to get a little more background info. Let's move on.
You say, hello, Alexa.
That's
Google,
a different
Siri,
platform.
Type, hey.
H-A-Y.
Let's go back to the McKinney team hotline. Let's get Roger. Roger, what are you expecting through the first four games? 4-0, 3-1, or 2-2, but competitive?
I would say 3-1, maybe. I would say 4-0, but I say 3-0 if I think we can compete.
Reason?
Yeah.
I think it's possible to beat Virginia. I think it's got faith in Tennessee, but I think if we can compete well and then beat Florida, if we won, I won't say 4-0, but I think 3-1 probably be the best thing. But I mean, I'm hoping for so if my patience, that's why I ask you all, is it fair if you compete well with the Virginia and play well, you think fans would be happy if we compete well and be in the game the whole game and came up with a little short? You think people would be happy with that, you think?
Yeah.
Give her effort.
In the West Virginia game, Roger, if Tennessee's competitive and they look confident, but West Virginia just has too much manpower, too much firepower on offense, I think fans will be okay with that.
Yeah, now if you're going in to score a touchdown late and you totally botch the game clock or just mismanage the clock or something like that, that'll be a problem.
Appreciate the phone call, Roger. Have a good weekend, brother.
Reasonable Roger at 3-1.
Is that like a loser mentality to say that we'll be okay if we lose to West Virginia? Like, are people out there thinking this is a game that if you lose, you're going to be mad at?
Not if you get outgunned through the air. Like, if you lose a 45-35 game, that just kind of – that's one of those you just chalk up like, well, West Virginia's got a great quarterback.
That's exactly how I feel, especially when you have this secondary class and you can point and say, look, help's on the way. I would be upset. I would be mad if you just completely lay an egg or if you just can't move the ball offensively. To me, that'd be a huge red flag. But if Tennessee comes out, scores points, but just can't stop that dynamic offense in year one, game one, I'll just chalk that up to it is what it is, but you better beat Florida. JT tweets in, I expect 2-2, but 3-1, 4-0 are definitely possible. Mason tweets in, 2-2 competitive is the most Tennessee option ever. Well, it makes sense, Mason, because we're in Tennessee.
It's kind of true.
Well, I mean, like, what do you – I mean, I'm asking, like, year one. I'm asking what you got people think because the over-under set at 5.5. The over-under's 5.5.
Are you asking me what I think?
I'm asking you what you think about what? The expectation? I mean, that's the conversation we're having. I'm not necessarily asking what you think. I'm more so just talking. But if you feel free to chime
just
in. That's
blabbering into a microphone.
Yeah, feel free to chime in. That's a part of what we do here.
3-1. 3-1. Let's make it 3-1. 2-2 is not good enough.
That is the McKinney team hotline. I mean, 2-2 does sound just like a loser. Saying, let's just go 2-2 competitive. I get that. I'm expecting 3-1.
I mean, what if it turns out, though, you're just not good enough on the field yet? Like, you lose a 45-35 game to West Virginia, and then Florida, all that talent coming back we keep hearing about, and Mullen's a good coach, and you know, they just outdo you. They just beat you 31-23, and they're a little better that day.
Well, I mean, that can 100% happen. And at that point, you kind of change focus and hope you can steal one on the road and then hope you can still make a bowl game. But I don't think anyone's expecting that.
But we're still okay at that point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what happens.
I mean.
I might put you at 2-6.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose to Florida, it might be a long time before you get another win. And that'll be tough in year one. That'll be tough for our business. That'll be tough for local businesses around here. It'll be tough for everybody to swallow after what we've been through. Like, if you lose to Florida, it might be a while before you get another win.
They probably really need one of those, then, you would say. I mean, as far as perception goes.
I would say so.
You think they really need West Virginia or Florida?
It'd be nice if this coaching staff could just get off to a good start. It'd be nice if you could just come in and really win a couple games you're not supposed to or that people don't think you're going to.
Come out and beat down West Virginia and have the nation take notice of it.
Even if you do have to go through that rough stretch in October.
Right.
You have your moment, either against West Virginia or at home against Florida. If you get one of those in the first 4 weeks, I don't want to say playing with house money in October, but you're playing with house money in October.
I think in November,
you're going to have to strap back up and start winning games. But October, if you take care of West Virginia or Florida, you're kind of rolling the dice with no risk.
I think having a moment is key. I think that's maybe even underrated as to how important the season will be having a big moment. Even Butch had a moment. South Carolina 2013. That was part of the reason a lot of people bought in to 2014 or 2015 with Butch, is because he was able to have that moment. So I think it's really big. I think you need one of those. Whether now that, you know, that may be West Virginia, maybe Florida, might be on the road at Auburn. I don't know. But you do need a statement win in year one. One of them.
Hour one in the books. Hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.